Welcome to Happy Today podcast. This is a podcast for those who want to improve service experience of internal services. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system, then this is for you. In this episode,
when thinking about designing an XLA, it's actually bringing the customer into that conversation.
All right. Hey, welcome to this episode of Happy Today podcast. Today I'm joined by Hannah Price. Hannah is a service management consultant. And as a consultant for top desk customers, you help them implement the ITSM solution, but also design and optimize the processes. And why you're in the podcast is that already like 2018, you wrote an article, What Are XLAs and How to Use Them. We mentioned that in an earlier episode. So welcome, Hannah. Please tell a little bit like, how did you end up in your current position?
Hi. Well, first, thank you very much for having me on the podcast. And kind of ended up here by happy coincidence in a way. I started off a few years ago as a service management consultant, sort of focusing on the sort of tool and technology side of an implementation. But as I kind of grew in my career, I'd always found that the secret to a good implementation never lied solely with the tool itself. And I ended up kind of specializing more in the human side, I suppose, human interaction, customer experience, employee experience, and how those are so closely entwined with a good service. And that's where I stumbled across XLAs, and they really kind of resonated with me. So started kind of using them and talking about them more in customers and writing that blog post that you mentioned as well.
Cool. So what is an experience level agreement for you? Like we talked in one episode that there are still quite a few variation of it. We all know that Giarte is the one kind of having that trademark for the word XLA. But I think still people use experience level agreements and kind of the whole topic around it a bit differently. But for you specifically, when you talk with customers, what do you tell them? What is an XLA?
Well, it's really easy for XLA to cover such a broad spectrum of different things. I do find it quite hard to define it sometimes because it covers so many different bases. And when you're talking to customers about an XLA, they could be talking about so many different things. I think for me personally, and I don't know if this is with the direction that XLAs will head, but for me personally, because people do tend to speak about XLAs sort of either against SLAs or at least alongside SLAs, I kind of sometimes hear them defined a lot as basically the equivalent, the kind of experience equivalent of an SLA. So just like some organizations will have an SLA contract or an agreement, this is what we want to provide in terms of the service level. A lot of people kind of put XLAs into that small box as well. So it's an agreement of an experience level that we would promise to our customers. I think that's generally when people sort of first hear about XLAs, that's what they expect them to be. But then as that conversation widens and gets bigger, you do find that definition slipping further into kind of talking about the output of the service and all sorts of different things. I think if you keep it niche, it could be considered just an agreement. Although I think there is kind of a cultural and a mindset shift that sits behind XLAs that does make it quite a wider definition.
Yeah, totally agree. So, and then from the SLA, like what do you think is like the main difference from an SLA? Like if somebody asked that, what would you say?
I think the big difference with SLAs is that they can easily miss the reality of a situation. And I think that's where Giarte's amazing sort of parallel that they drew with the watermelon service desk and the kind of the green SLA, and it could be red on the inside of the actual customer. I think that's the big thing with SLAs, that they can miss actually the feeling, the emotion, the experience of the customer. Whereas the XLA, I think that's its main focus. It's looking at the customer experience. And although that can sometimes be a lot less tangible and a lot less hard to measure than an SLA, because you're not dealing with, you know, X number of time or minutes spent or uptime, that sort of thing. It's much more of a feeling and emotion. It can be harder to work with. I definitely see that with customers. But it's so much more important, I think, to look at that experience side so that you don't end up with the watermelon effect and you've got like a much more holistic view of the service as a whole.
And I saw from your article that you kind of put it the same way that we do, that because humans are not, you know, binary. They are not computers. So they do feel. They do feel how it was. And there's always this saying that you kind of never remember what happened, but you remember how you felt about
yes.
it. So that's why we also feel that that's really the key. And even though it's intangible, I think you said also in your article that, well, services itself, they are kind of, you know, fluffy yeah. in a way. So
yeah, exactly. And it's funny you should mention that, actually, because I heard a really funny sort of idea the other day called the cat paradox.
Okay, where never really heard it.
No, I hadn't heard of it either. Yeah. It was really awesome because it was talking about the importance of that feeling that you have and that kind of, I suppose, emotional connection in a way, the feeling that you have. And it likened it to looking after a cat. And actually, if you look at the kind of the SLA or the service of a cat that they offer you as a pet, they're not your obvious choice of pet because sometimes they're, you know, they only let you pet them when they want to be petted. They can be quite stubborn, quite demanding, quite unaffectionate, typically for cats
yeah,
at least.
Yeah,
and yet
yeah.
people still like cats because they emotionally connect and you kind of have that feeling towards a cat. And I think in this thing I was reading, it was saying that cats will meow in a certain way that connects, or a certain kind of timbre or level that connects emotionally with a human. And they've worked out yeah. how to do that because that feeling and emotional connection is so important. So I just thought that was funny, the cat paradox. And I was like, yeah, that's really related to XLAs.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. I didn't hear it, but it totally makes sense. I can hear it because I'm kind of not a cat person, but now after hearing that, maybe I should be, because I don't feel myself like an SLA person in that way. You know, I would only want to see that. All right, but hey, you know, you wrote that a couple of years ago. So from your work with customers today, have you seen an increase in the demand, like the questions related to this whole experience topic? So
definitely. I think it's customer experience has always been on some level important, but particularly in the last year or so, I've noticed the terminology around customer experience and XLA coming up a lot more. Usually customer experience more than just XLA. I think the kind of XLA is part of customer experience and service design as a whole.
Yeah.
But we get sometimes very specific questions about, okay, I'm trying to measure my customer experience through a customer satisfaction score, but I'm only getting like minimal replies, like 1% of my customer base will reply. And that's a real worry for people. We hear questions like that come up all the time, more so than ever. And I think that's because people are realizing that experience of the customer has such a big effect on their service as a whole, and what that department offers to the business as well is so intrinsically linked to that customer experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, big increase, definitely.
Okay. And are they asking like if we then go to literally like the XLA world, like helping them to set it up, or actually anybody understand like, okay, so what should I put in the agreements or something else around it? What are the concrete things that they are kind of missing? Because like we were discussing, it's still evolving thing. And I think that some of the concrete actions are the problems of people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think something that I've yet to come up with like the perfect formula for what XLAs are that fit across the board. I find quite often we end up tailoring them at specific organizations. And why we end up doing that is because something that they miss when thinking about designing an XLA is actually bringing the customer into that conversation. And quite often we'll be talking around the table with the people in an IT department or an estates facilities department, or maybe multiple departments if we're kind of doing a joint project. And they're talking about what they think the customer experience is and trying to design things to measure and metrics to have off the back of that. But the customer isn't actually there. And they've always said, oh, we could actually invite them in and ask them and hear what they say and really listen to them. And it does sound obvious when you kind of say it like that, but it isn't always our first thought to do that and to kind of bring them into that conversation as early as possible. And I think it ties in closely to the principles of service design, where when you're looking to design a service or a process, the biggest part of the of that kind of design process should be the research. And it often is kind of, you know, in theory, it should be almost twice as large as the actual design of the product or the service itself is actually looking into what the customer needs and what they feel and getting them to design, okay, what would be a good experience for you? How would you measure that? Would it be, you know, a star rating, or would it be that we touch base at a certain time? Would it be that we interview X number of customers to see what they felt? And that's when the conversation gets quite interesting and you can tailor your XLAs quite nicely.
Yeah, that's true, because that's also like how we started our product platform. Is like with our CEO, we interviewed face to face 500 real employees. Nice. So we had these workshops. We were doing it for the customers. They were, you know, designing service portals, but at the same time we were like trying to understand what are the things that impact on their experience, you know, using those tools and using the services. And it's really fruitful, and we do it nowadays as well. We always do everything co-designed. I've had I had this great idea, and then, you know, the customer said, well, we don't really need that.
Like, yeah.
Well, actually, just taking away your pride, you kind of understand that you just save a lot of time of building something that nobody would have used. So yeah, that's really important. I agree as well. And you also mentioned this kind of talking about that there could be an XLA of the customer and then an XLA of the employee. And that's also first time I kind of heard it would like that. So what's your kind of idea?
Well, this is kind of a bit of a new idea for me as well, really. I've started exploring it recently. And why it kind of came into my mind was because I keep reading articles of research and seeing examples of customers where if an employee on the service desk, whether that's like an IT help desk or whatever service desk that it is, if they are happy and engaged, they end up being quite contagious, and like without even meaning to or trying to, they rub off on the person that they're speaking to on the end of the phone. And even if that customer actually is having an experience which on the face of it looks bad because maybe the SLA isn't being met, or it's, you know, they've been on hold for a long time or whatever it is, the energy and the vibe that that employee on the service desk gives off to the person on the other end of the phone and the empathy that they can show ends up forgiving a lot of other elements, if that makes sense. And kind of making that connection with them is just as important in some ways as the final resolution. You can have exactly the same resolution, exactly the same time frame, but the way that employee and the happiness they have and how that rubs off on the person on the end of the phone has made a completely different experience for that customer. And I think it was Temkin Group, a research group that did a really insightful study. I think they look at 5,000 or so different organizations, and they found that in service departments where employee engagement, employee happiness was higher, customer experience was significantly higher as well. And as a kind of byproduct of that, those employees on the service desk, I think it was something like four or five times more likely to do things like go the extra mile or do something different or try and implement an improvement, and not just kind of, you know, close and done, solved in SLA kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that story because there's so many now kind of things that connect with what we have been doing. So I think I also found from MetricNet, Jeff Remberg, this graph saying that, you know, how the agent happiness correlates to the customer satisfaction. And then we have a customer, Region Midtjylland from Denmark. They do all the outsourced services for the Danish hospitals. And they started using Happy Signals, and they actually, this was just an amazing story. They said that when they started to see all the feedback in real time, and we know from our statistics that 75% of all the feedback is positive, they got all this positive vibe back, and they said that it's just now much more motivating to come to work. Yeah. When I get all this positivity. And we also found this research saying that if you get a positive experience and then you get the next issue, you, like you said, just what you said, it's, you do a much better job of conveying that positivity, because working in a service desk, it's a hard job. It's it's really like you tackle people's problems all day long. So that human side to it. And in the regular media land, you can think that you're actually serving people in hospitals. So in a way, you are saving lives when they are saving lives, which is like totally different motivation than I just come here and make sure that my SLAs are not on red and close these tickets as fast as possible. So I totally think that this human side to it, that's really important. But it also got me thinking that when considering SLAs, should you have an SLA then towards the actual end users? I mean, now if you think that XLAs, they might be used between IT organization and outsourced vendor, for example, just that because you're outsourcing the service desk, you have an XLA there. But have you seen that then the XLA is kind of extended to really the end users?
Well, I haven't seen it happen much yet, but yeah. I personally would like that to happen. Because it does happen for SLAs, because you've got that traditional kind of word agreement in there, which signifies we've agreed it. It's almost like a binding contract kind of thing. We don't have that take with XLAs. Yeah. I don't think we need to do it that strictly with XLAs at all, don't get me wrong. But I think it would be nice if you could say to your customers, we are trying to do this. We're promising to try and at least deliver a baseline of this experience.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have like a kind of a benchmark that we try to achieve. Yeah. Because not only does it make a good impression, but then they know to expect that you're going to be trying to do new things.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen, I was in one office building before the COVID thing in London, and they had this you said, we did type of thing, just communicating back to the employees. And I think that's kind of part of the XLA for the employees, saying that this is now the level we are, and maybe the trend has been this one, and now these are the things that we're trying to improve. So that sometimes, because sometimes people ask that, you know, how do you get that feedback from employees? Are they, you know, tired of filling in surveys or kind of filling in the experiences? We haven't really seen that, at least in our data. If you do it in the right way, and you know, you always have that possibility, it's not mandatory, and then you communicate back that you're actually doing something with it.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the XLA towards really the, you were talking employees as the agents, but then also like the end users that the large enterprises are you know, working for. Cool. Hey, really exciting topic. I think it was great to have you here. You have an excellent insight on this whole topic, and it was inspiring listening to your stories. So if people want to maybe learn more, they want to talk about you, talk with you, then what's the best way to be in touch?
Well, anyone's more than welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn. My handle on LinkedIn is Hannah C. Price. I'd love to hear from anybody. If you want to talk about XLAs or service experience and customer experience, please get in touch. But we've also got some more resources from Topdesk, which is where I work. If you're interested in reading a blog about XLAs, for example, head to the Topdesk website and you can find lots there.
Cool. I'll make sure that I'll get those links from you, and I'll put it to our show notes so people can now click when they are listening to this. Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you, Hannah. It was a pleasure. And as we say in Happy Today podcast, stay happy.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.